both pointed out that in our lectionary cycle of readings, the fifth Sunday in Lent is always focused on death and death being overcome. And it's always from John's Gospel, if you were wondering, since we're supposed to be in Luke all of Lent. Well, year A, we hear about Lazarus being raised from the dead. In year B, Jesus speaks of his own death and resurrection. And now in year C, where we find ourselves, we hear the story of Mary's lavish generosity and the anointing of Jesus. Most likely out of her extreme gratitude for him bringing Lazarus back to life. But also, as Jesus points out, in preparation for his own death that will be coming soon enough. Life out of death. It's not often seen in our world, is it? In the reality of this fallen nature, it's usually the other way around. And yet we grasp hard on life, trying to will away or possibly even medicate away the reality that death does come. The hopelessness of death, the finality of death. And yet, what we see in the gospel is hope. Abundance. Life in the face of death and in the midst of death. What is our reaction to the surpassing power of life that Jesus gives us access to? Are we moved by it? Are we more like Mary or are we more like Judas? I mean, here we're seeing an exuberant, probably spontaneous outpouring of love, devotion, and gratitude by Mary to all that Jesus is and all that he will be. I mean, I don't think she's thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or down the line. She's probably not even thinking about the cost that this perfume really meant to her monetarily. All she can see and all that she can do and think about is, how can I show this man how much I love him? How much he means to me? How can I show him what he's done and what he's meant to me and my family? So it begs the question, what does it mean to be generous? And especially when it comes to kind of the mighty dollar that we worship so well in the Western world, what does it mean to be generous? So we have to look at that jar kind of in perspective, because none of us really know what 300 denarii really means. But it was probably about a year's worth of wages. Now, each of us probably have a different idea or knowledge of what a year's worth of wages is, depending on where we all stand on kind of the socioeconomic scale. But I did some research, and in Iowa in 2014, they didn't have the 2015 numbers out yet, the median household income was $53,712. Well, I don't care what you make a year, that is a heck of a lot of money. And that is a lot of money for some perfume in my mind. And I believe that many of us, myself included, would probably have echoed Judas's kind of righteous indignation at such a waste. I mean, over $53,000 and you're just pouring it away? That could have balanced our budget. Well, there was once a stewardship conference at which an ecumenical group of pastors had gathered to discuss this topic of generosity. And one presenter spoke about offering a gift directly to God. And the clergy, just like everybody else, were bored to tears and yawning and probably playing on their smartphones and devices. But the speaker then pulled out a $100 bill from his wallet. And he set it on fire and put it in an ashtray. And he prayed at it as it was burning up. He said, "Lord, I offer this gift to you and you alone." Now you can imagine the reaction was probably a bit electric. I mean, the clergy began to fidget in their chairs, watching this $100 bill go up in smoke as if it were a perfume. One probably was whispering, well, you know, it is illegal to burn currency. Somebody else was probably saying, well, if he's giving away money, I'd be more than willing to take some off his hands. But there was nervous laughter around the room because many were thinking, well, that could have been used for something. And the speaker asked, do you not understand? I'm offering it to God. And that means it's going to cease to be useful for the rest of us. But sadly, most have a Judas reaction to generosity because they've missed the importance of what it means to be generous to God and God alone. So we've come to see money and to see things more in a utilitarian way, and then we like to spiritualize it to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. I mean, we're concerned about budgets and such, and we need to be. Yet we forget that all that we do and all that we are should be a generous outpouring of thanksgiving to the one who has overcome death. To the one that has overcome all that we face in this world and has given us life through his very own life. So when commentator points out, there is abundance wherever Jesus is present. As Mary generously anoints him, he tells her critics, leave her alone. Generosity breeds generosity. Judas can criticize Mary for what she has done, but the story kind of exposes his own hypocrisy. See, either we love generously or we do not. Either we are already engaged in providing for the poor, or we are secretly hoarding what might otherwise be used and shared. It goes on to say that much modern religion focuses only what is useful, practical, and cost-effective. Concerns for austerity arise when resources seem slim. Yet when it comes to the life of faith, we may discover our hearts are diminished if the budget is our first concern. Should we live a spendthrift life? No. But can we justify the wasting of God's gifts? Not really. However long before a gift can be wasted, it must first be received. Where is our own hypocrisy exposed in light of others' generosity? I mean, it's really easy, isn't it, to point out what others should be doing? What others should have done with what they have? Yet what are we doing with what we have? We have been called to serve the poor, to help and be generous to those who are less fortunate. Yet we have to also be careful not to use the poor, so to speak, as a weapon to justify our own excesses or our lack of worship and attention to God, to the one we are supposed to be doing all of this for in the first place. See, there is a time to be a Martha and to serve, to honor the poor with our resources and our time. Yet it's meaningless if we are not also being a Mary, devoted and worshiping lavishly the one who enables us to have the abundance we enjoy. As I've probably said before, social justice without offering a relationship with Jesus is empty and meaningless. But it's empty and meaningless in the same way as just having a relationship with Jesus without social justice is meaningless. So it goes back to the question, what does it mean to be generous? Well, Babette's Feast was a movie that we released in the 80s. And for some, it's hard because it's a subtitled movie, and a lot of people don't like foreign films with subtitles. But if you get a chance, watch it, because it's a powerful movie. And I think it's a perfect example of sacrificial giving in action. For those of you that don't know the story, one of the most talented chefs in the world, Babette, is banished from her native parish due to political turmoil and persecution. And she washes ashore in this small Danish fishing village. whose small religious community is enduring a time of fractious bickering. Now, we never know a religious community that doesn't get along really well, right? There's never bickering and sniping in a church. But they find that this once tight-knit band of believers have started to snipe at one another, and there's no unity, no cohesion. And it's the heartbreak of the spinster sisters who head up this community that their father had founded years earlier. They take in Babette to be a scullery maid and cook, but mostly what the sisters ask her to prepare is only the blandest of foods because that's what they were accustomed to. But then one day, Babette finds out that she's won the lottery in Paris. And so she offers to cook a true feast for the sisters and the entire community. They agree and are eventually treated to a feast of rare delicacies. Excellent vintages of wine and just flat out some of the best gourmet fare you would ever enjoy. This community has no idea what they're consuming, but they know it's good. They enjoy the meal thoroughly, but also find in the midst of it that their community is restored. Arguments are dropped, past misdeeds are forgiven, and when the evening is finished, they join hands and sing the doxology together under the stars. They've been reunited. Only then, afterwards, do the sisters discover that what Babette really has done. Because she has spent all the money, every last cent that she had won, not just a portion of it. She had, in doing so, basically shut down her options. She could not return to Paris. She couldn't take up a post as a chef at one of the leading restaurants. She had, quote-unquote, wasted it all on these sisters and this small community. And yet, this prodigal waste, so to speak, had brought life. May we, out of our love for what Jesus did for us on Easter Sunday, have a remembrance of all that he does to bring life into our lives, cause us to bring this kind of prodigal waste before the Lord and before our community, day in and day out. Amen.